And our guest today is Mike Arnold. And Mike is a coach for contest preparation specializing in chemical enhancement advice. And the way I got to learn about a little bit about Mike was there was a thread on one of the very popular bodybuilding forums on the internet, and they were talking about the drugs that bodybuilders are using nowadays to get ready for competitions. And Mike was on there giving some advice, and he also mentioned that a lot of natural bodybuilders are using legal and illegal steroids to compete. I thought that was a pretty interesting topic because we've been talking a lot about that on Natural Bodybuilding Radio over the last month about how some of these bodybuilders are possibly using drugs to get tied to the test and winning competitions, and they still claim that they're natural bodybuilders. And Mike said he has some actual experience working with some of these bodybuilders. We're not going to mention any names, of course, but I wanted to bring Mike on the show and get his opinion on what's been going on in his world and in the world of competitive bodybuilding. So welcome to the show, Mike.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Let's talk a little bit about your background first, Mike. How did you get into bodybuilding yourself, and then how did you become a coach helping people get ready for contests?
Well, it's been a long time in the coming now. Like most people, I started when I was a teen lifting weights. From the time I was a young child, I always loved bodybuilding, even before I even knew what bodybuilding was. Seeing Arnold Schwarzenegger on TV and on film, and you know, even maybe his 8-9-year-old child, I said there was something about that. I said, "Wow, I would love to be like that." Of course, that was so far beyond me at the time; I didn't know it was even possible. But that's what started it off. So, into my teen years, I just obsessively read and tried to learn as much as I could about bodybuilding, and just really fell in love with the sport. And that continued all the way on through my teen years, through my 20s, into my 30s, where I'm at now. And I would say coaching, I started doing that about 10 years ago. I think 2000, at the very end of 2000, was the first guy I had prepped for a show. And that's how I got into it.
So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of bodybuilding in general, not just natural bodybuilding, but talk about how the drug use has changed in bodybuilding from, let's say, 10 years ago or 20 years ago. When I started bodybuilding, my first show was in 1979. So I remember back then guys were using steroids. The steroids were not illegal back then. They were, you know, legal with a doctor's prescription. So they were pretty easy to get, and I remember guys would get them at the gyms. You know, at most of the hardcore gyms around, there would be some guy behind the desk selling them, or somebody would be selling them, and guys would be shooting up in the locker rooms. But since then, it seems like it's really changed a lot. We've got now HGH is in the picture and insulin. So what is your average, like, top national level or even pro bodybuilder taking to get ready for a competition, just on average?
Well, a lot has changed, as you mentioned, going back 10, 20 years ago. Things have changed from 10 years ago, no doubt. Things are always advancing. New things are coming out. So it's a different ballgame now than it was 10 years ago. But 20 years ago is a completely different story, because now you're looking at, you know, the 90s had just started. And that was, I think, right before things started really picking up the pace, where the guys started doing a lot of things that you weren't really seeing very much in the 80s, and you definitely weren't seeing in the 70s and the 60s.
Okay.
But these days, if I would say one thing has changed the most, it's going to be the amount and particularly the dose of drugs that are used to prepare for shows. And of course, bodybuilders are always going to use anything new that they can that comes out that's applicable to bodybuilding in any way. You know, no matter how small the advantage, if it can be used and it can be obtained and it could give them some type of benefit, they're going to use it. So you can't pinpoint an exact cycle for any bodybuilder, whether it's a professional or it's a national level guy. Sometimes you read or you hear people say, this is what pros do, or this is what national guys do, or advanced level bodybuilders. And you might take everything with a grain of salt when you hear that, or a lot of them are just generalizations, because nobody has the exact same cycles. People are going to have their own preferences.
Right.
People are going to have their own opinions, and it's not going to happen that way. But it's very common, and there is some fluctuation between doses. Not everybody we see or hear about is taking massive doses. I mean, there are some guys that we would say are more on the sane end, and then, of course, you're going to have guys that steer towards, you know, real heavy use, and that's a reality, too. Mm-hmm. I would say today, particularly, even guys that would be considered to be using lower doses when you start getting to the national level and above are still going to be considered high doses to what we were seeing, you know, 15, 20 plus years ago. Maybe not 15, but 20 plus. And several grams of different type of steroids is very common. I mean, today we have guys that are just starting out. I mean, we see guys doing their first cycles that are using well over a gram of steroids, various kinds, per week, along with ancillaries, AIs, you know, different types of peptides starting. You know, and that was something that was unheard of 15 years ago. So, I mean, it's very common. I mean, test is a base drug. You're going to have that ran throughout all their cycles, pretty much all the way through contest prep. Might be cut out at the end or minimized, depending on how they like to do things. But 1, 2, 3 grams of test, you know. Other injectables, pre-contest steroids differ a lot of the time from what you're going to use off-season. I mean, I could get into describing some particular cycles if you want, or if you just wanted me to leave it as a generalization, I can do that for you as well. But that pretty much sums it up, several grams.
Yeah, the one thing I was wondering about was, you know, like I can, going back in the 80s, I remember guys would be taking, you know, steroids, and they would cycle like 8 weeks on, 8 weeks off. But now it seems like the big difference is that other types of drugs have entered the mix. Because now you've got growth hormone, and then you've got insulin, and insulin is supposed to be one of the most popular in drugs being used today.
Absolutely. Insulin's huge. I mean, it seems like almost everybody's using insulin now. You're not going to find all your gym guys, non-competitors. They're not going to all be using it, although a good portion do. Mm-hmm. You can go on any, you know, all these forums, you know, all over online, and you could see non-competitive guys using things like GH, the other peptides, IGF-1, insulin, and things like that. But when you start getting up to higher levels of competition, insulin's almost mandatory, unless you want to be that one guy that's, you know, cheating himself, at least how they look at it, out of an additional 20 pounds of muscle, which I would say GH and Sling use is the primary reason, as well as higher doses of AAS, why we have guys today weighing 20 and 30 pounds more than they were in, you know, in the mid-90s when there was only a couple guys.
Yeah.
We had Dorian and Nasser, and that was maybe Jean-Pierre Fou, and that was really about it. So, yeah, insulin's a big one today. As far as guys going off, doesn't happen a whole lot in higher levels. There are some guys, you know, you'll hear some people say, nobody ever goes off. You hear other people say, yeah, people do. Yeah, people do go off sometimes, but if they do, it's usually a short break. And a lot of times going off is considered still using testosterone, anywhere between 500 milligrams to a gram a week. That would be considered an off period for a lot of people. Because the fact of the matter is, when you're 40 and 50 and 60 pounds over your natural limit, you go off everything and you try to rely on your own body's production of anabolic hormones to sustain that muscle mass, you're going to drop weight, and you're going to drop weight real quick, a lot of it. A few months down the road, you're going to be a lot lighter. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of guys, they never go off. They'll be on it for years and years and years straight, and that's pretty common.
Wow. What would a typical cycle for a so-called natural bodybuilder be, Mike?
Well, you're not going to find a typical cycle for a natural guy just because there's such variance in what natural guys think is acceptable and isn't acceptable. And I wouldn't want to start by saying I think most natural guys are trying to do what they think is the right thing to do. I've talked to many, many guys that might not be using controlled substances, but they're using other legal drugs, which are steroids in disguise. Most people realize what they are today, but not everyone does. But a lot of times they're rationalized off as saying, okay, well, you know what, I know three of my buddies that are using this, this, and this, and they all put in 20 pounds on the last 6 months, you know, and they're competing in natural shows, so I feel I should have that same advantage. And then you have other guys that say, well, I'm just going to do whatever I can to win the show. And anything that I can take that either isn't tested for or doesn't show up on a drug test or that has a quick enough clearance time that I can use it, I'm going to use it and gain as much muscle as I can. So I can't really describe for you a typical cycle. But, I mean, there's various drugs out there natural guys are using. If you want to take an extreme case of somebody who's trying to do anything they could do, an example might be a guy that's using test suspension, but only enough, maybe somewhere between a dosage of 250, 300 milligrams a week, which isn't very much, but enough to help, so their epitestosterone ratio doesn't get out of whack, and their levels don't test too high off the charts. So they might throw that in there as a base, which they can run right up to the show. There's no ester attached, so it's not going to show up on a drug test. They're just going to be forced to look at testosterone level. And then you have the other things you could take. Some of the legal steroids out there today, designer steroids or PHs, prohormones, a lot of guys call them. I mean, one of the most powerful steroids anybody can buy anywhere, whether it's black market, whether it's controlled, or whether it's legal, is going to be methasterone. A lot of guys just call it SD, Superdrol for short. That's been out, I think, since 2005, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically just a form of masterone, but it's double methylated. It's a dimethylated form of masteron, and it's very potent. Guys are putting on more lean muscle mass with that one drug right there, which is 100% legal. Anybody can buy it at any time, dirt cheap, 25, 30 bucks a bottle. Guys are putting on 15 to 20 pounds of muscle, sometimes less, sometimes more, in 30 days without any water retention. Now, that's crazy. That's just crazy. I mean, you could use a gram. Most guys can use a gram a test a week, and they're not going to put on no 20 pounds of muscle in a month. If they do put on 20 pounds, a lot of it's going to be water and some of it's going to be fat. You're looking at several months at those dosages to gain that kind of muscle. So that's just one example of a legal drug that you can use that's going to be more powerful than almost anything you're going to be able to use, but you're limited in duration because of the toxicity of the drug. So that's one downside.
Well, let me stop you right there, and we'll talk a little more about that. This is now a legal steroid, and this is a supplement, basically, that you could get probably it's either at stores or online. And how is this being sold? You know, because, I mean, I remember when the pro-hormones first came out, and this was like when, when Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa were using them, you know, and there was all that big hubbub about Mark McGuire using pro-hormones I tried some of them back then, and I didn't really get much response. So now, when natural bodybuilders would be talking online at these forums about, he's using pro-hormones, and he's using pro-hormones, I never thought it was that big of a deal. But now you're telling us about this supplement that's basically masterone, double methylated and everything, and it's going to produce gains of like 10 or 15 pounds of muscle mass with no water retention in like a month's time.
Yes, yeah. Well, back then, what you're talking about around Mike McGuire's day, early 2000s or late 90s, I believe it was around then, you know, PHs, or they would just call them Andro, different this, Andro that. It was junk.
Right.
You know, it wasn't going to do anything for you. The industry, the pro-hormone designer steroid industry was in its infancy. So they ran into a few problems why the drug weren't effective. One, they couldn't effectively deliver the drug into the system without the liver breaking 96 to 98% of the drug down. And two, the drugs themselves just weren't that effective. So most of them were complete garbage. I mean, these companies were making money selling stuff that wouldn't do a thing. But as you had mentioned before, how is some of this stuff being sold? Well, there have been a few steroid laws passed recently. I believe one of the most recent ones, there's been two since, but one was back in 2004 when methyl 1 test was on the market. And that got taken off at the end of 2004, along with some other effective steroids. Methyl 1 test was one of the most powerful steroids to ever hit, you know, the market, no matter what, controlled or not, and very toxic as well. And then just recently, within the last year or so, they had another banning where the government has banned a handful or so of other drugs, a couple of them which were pretty popular, DMT. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, Maydol. That was being used in athletes, Olympic athletes and other people at the time as a designer that wasn't being detected. Well, it started being sold in stores. So here we had these manufacturers just saying, oh, wow, well, here's a designer steroid. Everybody knows it is, but it's not a controlled substance yet, so we'll sell it. That one's banned. But how SD has escaped the banning, I couldn't tell you how. I mean, it's very popular. Certainly they must know about it, but for some reason or another, it's still on the market.
Wow. Now, are guys getting this on the Internet, or are they buying it, like, at stores?
You can do both. You're not going to find it at places like GNC. You're not going to usually find it at Vitamin Shop too much. I mean, I've been to many of them. I haven't seen it. But you're going to find them at some of the other smaller outlet stores, other nutrition, sports supplement stores. You'll find it there, and you'll find it all over online. I mean, there's dozens of different companies that produce it under various names that you can buy it anywhere as cheap as like $15 in some cases, up to 30-something, depending on who you buy it from. And that's just one drug. I mean, there's other legal drugs out there that will mimic different steroids. I mean, there's another steroid, Epistane, goes by the name Havoc. That's one popular steroid out there right now. It's very effective. It's a lean, water-free, non-aromatizable drug. Very similar to Winstrol. Actually, a bit stronger than Winstrol. It'll get you or give you most of the same effect. So that's just another legal option for guys that want to use a drug that's similar to Winstrol or T-ball and not have to go the illegal route or take any of the risks.
Right. Okay.
Hey, Mike, when a natural bodybuilder is taking an illegal drug or a banned substance, I guess we could call it, how is it that these guys keep passing these tests?
Well, there's a few different ways you can go about passing the tests. It depends on what you take and how you're going to go around getting around the test. If something like testosterone, you have a few options. Most guys will be able to maintain their muscle mass for at least a few days or a week or so before they really start slipping after they go off the drugs. So if you're going to use controlled or tested for substances that can be detected, you're going to want to use stuff that has a very short detection time. You know, test prop, for instance, you can use testosterone propionate. You can use that all year long in whatever dose you want. You can go off 2 weeks before the test date, and you can test clean. You might have to go off slightly before that to make sure your epitestosterone-testosterone ratio is good. But the detection time on the drug is only a couple of weeks, so you can be using grams of this stuff all year long and just stop a short period of time beforehand. You have other steroids that only have a detection time of a week or less. So many of these drugs, you can just basically run right up to the show and quit, and you're not going to test positive for the substance. So that's one way guys can get around testing for shows. You have some guys, it's not too common because it's a hassle and most people just don't want to deal with it. But of course, you can do catheterization where you can have clean urine put in you, or depending on how they do the testing, you know, you can just urine swap with somebody else and put clean urine. Use clean urine for pretending it's your own. Blocking agents aren't too common. They just aren't because they're rare, and whatever is out there and exists, they're always finding out about it. So something else has to be made, and they're usually pretty closely guarded secrets, and it's not like most guys have access to any of that stuff, if anything's even out there right now. And then you have untested for stuff. I mean, a lot of the drugs out there, they can't be picked up. I mean, you're not going to be able to pick up insulin. You're not going to be able to pick up GH. You're not going to be able to pick up any of the other peptides, which there's a lot, half a dozen that are used regularly out there. You know, there's going to be DNP. You're not going to be able to pick up that. You can use Lasix until about 36 hours out from the show, and you're still going to be able to test clean. You can use a bunch of AIs to dry out, and I don't think most organizations test for those, if any. There may be a few, so I don't want to definitively answer that one, but a lot of AIs aren't banned today. There's actually some pretty effective ones that guys could use. So those are just some examples of some drugs that you can actually run right up to the show and in whatever dose you want, and you're not going to have an issue because they just can't pick them up. Of course, they're going to be on the banned substance list, but some guys just don't care. If they're not going to test for it or they can't pick it up, then who really cares? So you can rely on controlled substances, quite a few of them, use them in almost until showtime. Then you can use other designer steroids that aren't going to be tested for, and then you could use stuff that doesn't even get picked up. So that's how guys are able to go into shows holding a lot of mass and have put on a bunch of size that they wouldn't be able to obtain naturally and still pass the tests.
Now, Mike, are these guys using this stuff, the natural bodybuilders that you've had some consultation with, are they using it more for the size, or are they using it more for the conditioning? Because it seems like a lot of natural bodybuilders, there don't seem to be a lot of really big natural bodybuilders anymore that we've seen. They seem to be just more super conditioned. I mean, we've seen a lot more now striated glutes and sort of smaller physiques, but just really, really hard and ripped. And it almost looks like they're on something, and, you know, maybe they are from what you've said. So are they using it more just for the conditioning, like they can get away with doing a lot of cardio and lower carbs and just keep all that muscle mass while they're getting really ripped?
Yeah, well, like I said, there's going to be some guys that are going to go the straight path, and they're going to just rely on their diet and their cardio and try to hold on to whatever mass they can, but certainly far from all. I mean, you have drugs like clenbuterol, where even if it's tested for, it's got a quick clearance time. I mean, you got 4 to 5 days, and you know, you're going to test clean off that. So, clenbuterol is a pretty effective fat loss drug. And in a natural guy who's normally relying on a low amount of anabolic hormones in his system, it still has a mild anabolic effect. So they're going to help burn off some of that fat and maintain some of their muscle tissue. And, there's other drugs that people will use, of course, to come into good condition. There's diuretics, as long as they can get that diuretic, depending on what they use, drop it in time, dry out. I mean, if you can use it up to one day out, it's still going to help you. You know, you can use AIs, which are going to eliminate the estrogen from your system, and anytime you bump your estrogen way down, your water retention is going to fade. And then you could use any of the non-aromatizable drugs, you know, that don't convert to estrogen or don't cause any water retention through any type of electrolyte alteration, and, you know, stay big, stay full, and dry out and get harder all at the same time. So really they can have any of these drugs at their disposal for contest prep, where they might not be really adding size farther into their contest diet, but you can easily keep it or even put some on in the beginning, depending on how you choose to go about it, and then come in with much better condition than you were ever going to be able to come in with all your size if you try to do it on your own. I mean, drugs, just, they help so much. It's indisputable. You got one guy, if he's drug-free, and another guy using everything at his disposal, even if they were, you know, identical twins, you know, one guy's going to look drastically different than the other one.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
So, Mike, in your opinion, I mean, these natural guys are taking these illegal drugs, and they still continue to compete in the natural shows. Why do you think they just don't go to the other route? Why do they choose to do natural shows? Because really, if they're taking drugs and they win a natural show, it's like, for the most part, they're just beating a bunch of natural bodybuilders like they should because they're on these drugs. So why do they continue to do the natural shows being on these drugs?
Right. What people think about that is different from person to person. I mean, like, I've ran into quite a few guys who use some of these. They seem fairly, not as a put-down, but they seem fairly ignorant on the matter as to really what they're using. They might know it's effective, but they see everybody using it, and they think because, oh, this is a legal supplement. I've seen guys, they don't even realize it's a steroid. You know, don't do much research, but I could genuinely tell they didn't realize. So you have some guys that they don't really understand what they're doing. I'm sure they do on some level, but not really like I would or you would, that they're really breaking the rules and gaining a really unfair advantage over everybody else. And I think some guys are just, they don't want to go all out. You know, I think they feel safe. They feel secure competing where they're at, especially if they're doing well. You know, if you've been a natural bodybuilder for some time and that's what you're known as, and people are giving you props for being a natural bodybuilder and you're doing well, and then all of a sudden you say, hey, I'm switching over to this competition, or even worse, I had been using drugs, which I don't think very many people would, the fallout from that generally isn't going to be too good for a lot of those guys. And I think they worry about how competitive they'll be. You know, if they look at other guys, you know, they might be at the top of their organization or close to it, and they look at the professional ranks or even the national scene, and they say, wow, man, some of these guys are just crazy. I can't see myself competing against that. They don't want to step down the ladder any, they'd like to stay where they're at.
Hey, Mike, we had a couple of promoters, natural bodybuilding promoters, on the show last week, and we were asking about how they do the drug testing and stuff, and she was saying that the person they use for their drug testing tests for the Olympics, and basically what they test for is metabolites. So what does that really mean as far as testing for metabolites? Is that leftover products from the steroids they're using, if they were using them, or what does that exactly mean?
Yes. Yeah, that's what it is. It's going to be metabolites left over from the drug. I mean, you have a half-life of the drug and the full life of the drug. So say if you take a certain steroid and you hear somebody say, well, the half-life on, you know, Anadrol is 10 hours. Okay, well, the drug itself is going to be active for about that long, that period of time, and you're not going to get an anabolic effect anymore, but there's going to be metabolites left over, and the half-life of the drug has absolutely no connection as to how what the detection time of the drug is, which is going to be metabolites, which, like you said, is just leftovers, basically, from the drugs themselves, which can hang around for a long time. I mean, you have some metabolites from drugs like nandrolone that can stick in your system for a year and a half. Sometimes they can pick them up for longer. So that would be one drug these days. You're gonna want to stay away from that no matter what, unless you don't plan on competing for quite some time in a natural organization. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're right. That's what they test for. They test for the metabolites. So when I reference detection times in drugs clearing the system, it would be the metabolites leaving the system in time for them to be able to pass.
Are you clean? You mentioned nandrolone. That's an injectable steroid that also is oil-based. If they were using an injectable steroid that was water-based, or if they used a supplement or another type of illegal steroid that was oral, that would get out of your system much faster, and it wouldn't leave a metabolite, right?
No, it's not so much whether it's an oil or whether it's water-based. It has to do with the drug itself and what type of ester is attached to the drug. Take testosterone, for instance. Testosterone is testosterone, but when you attach a bunch of different esters to it, whether it's the acetate ester, the prop ester, the enanthate, whatever, the detection time on the drug, how long are you going to pick that up in your system for in a drug test, can vary dramatically. You know, it's just a couple of weeks for test prop, but you've got 4 or 5 months for test enanthate. So a big difference there just based on the ester, and they're both oil-based steroids as it is. And then you get something like Winstrol, can be, it's water-based steroid, typically, but that's still going to stay in your system for, you know, about 3 weeks normally, while you're going to have something like test suspension, which is also water-based, but that's going to be out of your system right away, you know, 12 hours later or so, that's pretty much done with. And as long as your T levels don't go up too high or your ratios don't get out of whack, you'll pass. So it really doesn't have that much to do with whether it's oil or water.
Okay. Now, what about something like that legal steroid that you referenced before, that guys are putting on all those kinds of muscle in 1 month's time? Would something like that be picked up if they weren't specifically looking for it?
No, they're going to have to specifically look for most of these drugs. I mean, there's just no way. All these organizations, drug testing can really be expensive, especially when, I mean, most of them, I was just looking over it today a little bit, actually, just to see what was going on recently. And some of these organizations are pretty thorough in what they test for, or at least try to be. And some of them have just about banned just about everything. So they've done a really good job as far as putting the rules in place and trying to enforce them. But aside from simply testing for your testosterone level, your epitestosterone to testosterone ratio, and, you know, maybe a half a dozen to a dozen steroids and then some other drugs, certain diuretics or clang and things like that, there's just no way you can test for all these drugs. It's impossible, because once they leave your system anyway, you know, your testosterone, say if it's an oral steroid, as soon as that drug's out of your system, which is going to be less than a day, your hormone, your testosterone level, your level of anabolic hormones in your blood is going to go way down. It's going to go back down to normal in almost no time. So if they don't specifically test for that substance, then they're not going to find it. You're going to end up passing the test.
Yeah, he gave me a lot of information I've been looking for, and I asked the questions I wanted to ask. I just wanted to ask one more. Is there a big difference between getting a guy ready for a show that's on drugs and a guy that's not on drugs? What are the biggest differences there?
diet's going to vary based on a person's metabolism. Training isn't going to change a whole lot so much based on whether you're using drugs or not. You might be able to do a little bit more work. But as far as the actual contest prep itself, there's really not a – I mean, there are certain things you have to look at to make sure that everything's put in place properly. But guys that are using drugs and guys that aren't using drugs, a lot of the contest prep is going to be the same. The challenge with guys not using drugs is just trying to hold on to the muscle. So you might have to tailor somebody's diet or their cardio and things like that to trying to maintain their muscle mass as best as possible while trying to strip off all the fat. Guys using AAS have to do the same thing because it's easy to lose muscle even when taking steroids if you overdo it, but it's much easier to hold on to your muscle mass if your level of anabolic hormones is 10 times, 15 times what it's supposed to be. The task just becomes infinitely easier.
Hey, Mike, I don't know if this is your level of expertise, but we've talked to many bodybuilding promoters, natural bodybuilding promoters, about the drug testing procedures. Do you think there's a better effective way of finding these drugs? Like, for example, if they did, we've heard about blood testing instead of urine testing, or maybe even hair analysis. Do you know anything if that would be any better at picking up these drugs than just a regular urine testing?
Yeah, hair analysis is going to pick up anything and everything, and it's going to pick it up for a long time. So that would probably be the most effective way if I just had to take a guess right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, blood urine tests, I mean, you can, you know, like I said, some steroids a few days later, you're going to test clean, but that's not going to happen with the hair test because those metabolites are going to stay within your hair follicles and strands for quite some time. So, but from what I understand, it's also quite a bit more expensive, too, to do that and time-consuming. So I don't know how cost-effective it is for their organizations. If money was unlimited, I can see people taking all sorts of measures to try to ensure that people don't cheat tests. But, you know, bodybuilding isn't really all that lucrative. And when you have, you know, these other organizations that are, they're natural organizations and they're trying to do the best they can. But, you know, I mean, how much money can you spend before you start losing money? I mean, who wants to lose money to put on a show and start dipping in their own pockets? Probably not too many people. It just becomes not worth it. So I don't really know if there's a solution to the problem right now just because of the amount of money that's in the industry.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. All right, Mike, thanks again for joining us. Metro Bodybuilding Radio has given us a lot to talk about.
Well, it's not a problem. So thank you very much, guys.